Hello friends, let's discuss chapter number 9 of Organization Behavior. It's titled as Teamwork and Team Building. Teamwork and Team Building. So I'll take you through the journey of understanding what exactly is a team as different from group. In the earlier chapter we talked about groups and here we are talking about teams. These are two different entities altogether. But we use these terms very loosely. So after going through the discussion and the understanding, you will come to know when you identify a group of people, whether there is a group or whether there is a team. I mentioned a few things in the chapter number 8 when I was covering groups. Now when we talk about teams, you will further get a clarity about what are teams, how they are different from groups. So let's get on with it. The topics covered are three. One is teamwork. First we define what's a team, then we talk about teamwork and the various nuances to the teamwork. Next we talk about types of teams, and third we conclude with team building. In all about 35 slides, so let's get on with the very first one. Now what's a team? A team comprises two or more people with complementary skills who join together to work interactively as a single unit to achieve a common purpose for which they hold collective accountability. Team comprises of two or more people. Complementary skills means, I have given a different term in the earlier chapter when I was discussing groups. Complementary skills mean experts. Each one is an expert in his field. So my expertise and your expertise come together, so our skills are complementary with each other. They complement each other in terms of the total working and taking us towards the goal. So team comprises two or more people with complementary skills joining together to work interactively as one single unit to achieve a common purpose. Now here again, the common purpose, I am defining it still further. They come together to achieve what is called as a superordinate goal. Superordinate goal. That means they are achieving a goal which is not the routine goal, which is something very special, which is of a higher order with a high level of accountability, which requires skills from different sources. And hence when they come together to achieve a common purpose, each of them hold a collective accountability. Each of them hold a collective accountability. A typical example is a sports team like an Indian cricket team. So whether Dhoni is hitting a century, or whether the bowler is making people out or not. A bowler may take 6 wickets out of 10 or maybe 8 wickets out of 10. But if the match is lost, there's a collective accountability for everybody, including the bowler who bowled 8 people out. So every person in the team relegates himself in the background. Team matters, I do not matter, number one. Number two is, my expertise will be put into action to synergize with others. I am not working in isolation. I am working there because of my specialization and for a purpose of bringing the team superordinate goal into action and materialization. A group is usually working on a routine goal. A group comprises people who may or may not be with complementary skills. A group may have people where the collective accountability is not very high. But in this case, the team is created, coached, and also made accountable for the collective accountability and the results thereof. So calling any group of people team, please stop doing it. Ask yourself a question, does these conditions apply to this group of people? If it applies, it's a team. If it doesn't apply, it is not a team. So as a student of behavior OB, please get it very clear. Learn to distinguish between what's a group and what's a team. Whenever there is a project that is to be done for achieving some goal for the company, a quality circle for a short period of time maybe, then we get a team. So usually people who come together are teams. And you can identify that a group of people are a team from the results that is expected from them. A larger than lifelike result is expected. The building of a flyover, we need a team of experts coming together. It's a one-time investment of a very high order, and it is a very a project which has got a collective accountability of every specialized organization that comes together to form the flyover. So identify team from this point of view. Team members share information and work without delineating boundaries of job. Delineating means they don't say this is my job, I'll only do this. There is usually an overlapping of boundaries of jobs. That means everybody is understanding the jobs of others while they do their own jobs very diligently. They may be called upon doing other jobs also sometimes. So we do come across in the cricket team sometimes a member in the team who never does a bowling, who is not a bowler at all, but they may call him for bowling and he has to have the skills of bowling. It could be a stray incident, but he has to be delineating his boundaries of his job. There is no missing or overlapping of any activity. Every activity has to be properly designed and properly executed without any error. And each member keeps in his mind the final result of the team's goals. Now we are discussing group versus team skills. With respect to skills, people join groups voluntarily without selection and may possess same skills. Let me put it differently. Groups are formed by themselves or groups are formed by external agents. But teams are always formed by external agents. Teams don't form themselves. There has to be a guiding person, a steering person who forms a team looking at the superordinate goal which they need to achieve. So teams are selected on the basis of skill requirement for a purpose and members have complementary skills. Second aspect is the contribution part of it. In groups, individuals contribute and it is coordinated with the planned structure. In teams, members contribute collectively. In a group, if one person doesn't do the job, somewhere the planned structure will ensure that something can be done about it. And it's a group effort. It's an effort that is of the whole organization. The accountability may not be very high in a group, but in a team, members contribute collectively like a single individual performing the task. A team is like a very cohesive family. It's a unit by itself. It has got its own life, its own personality, its own attributes like any human being. Team throbs with a lot of energy. A group may not. Usually when you handle routine functions, you get a group mentality. But when you handle a function of a superordinate nature, then we have a team. And there the accountability and the involvement is more. The energy levels are very high. So today when we talk about organizations, when people are expected to contribute to the organization, we are in the process of forming teams. Teams which are given projects of short-term duration, finish one project, move over, finish the second project and move over. The beauty about team is when you perform your targets, there's a sense of fulfillment for the entire team members and in turn to the individuals themselves. Whereas in a group that may not happen, right? Taking the third point, accountability. Group activity is delineated into roles. An individual is accountable for his task. Team members form tasks in a coordinated approach and have joint accountability. In group activity, roles are very clear cut. The individual is accountable for his task. And through the process of coordination between role A and role B and role C, the final results are achieved. In team, it's one cohesive group of people with a coordinated approach and have joint accountability. Although there may be a specialist, but he may have to take up other roles as and when the team demands dictated. Next comes the commitment. Group members commit individually to respective roles. There's an individual commitment. Team members work in collaboration and commit jointly. In a team, no one lets down anybody else. In a group, that might happen. It was not my job. It was his job. He didn't do it properly, so what can I do? These statements you find in groups. In teams, no. I must have done my job extremely well. I must have hit a century or a double century in the team. My team would have not won the match, but yet I am committing the responsibility, the commitment that I am also responsible for the failure of the team to win. That attitude is very important. That is what they do when they go through the coaching. That attunement is created in people's minds, in the players' minds. Right? Next. Responsive to demands. Group members respond to management demands. As a management, they tell you this is what I want. Whereas the team members respond to self-imposed demand. They create their own demands on themselves. I promise to win this match. Self-imposed demand. I promise to ensure that this particular quality circle standards are set within this target date. It's self-driven. Interaction to achieve goals. Group members share information and then work individually. Group members share information and then they work individually, sometimes in isolation. Team members share information and work jointly. It's a very different energy. The impact of synergy. Synergy, I have explained in other slides, other chapters, 1 plus 1 greater than 2. When one person is working alone, produces 100 units, another person is working alone and produces 100 units singly, when both of them come together, the synergy says they will produce more than 100 plus 100, more than 200 units. That's synergy. Team activity results in synergy and hence higher performance. This is very common. Again, there's a pitfall which I've explained in another chapter. We are expecting team to produce synergy and produce higher results, but sometimes a phenomenon called social loafing creeps in. Social loafing means some members of the team might be laid back and they will say that others are performing, why should I do? It can happen. But in most cases in teams, it doesn't happen because team is constantly coached into synergy. Types of teams. There are work teams, high performance teams and some more which I'll be explaining. Now what's a work team? They are designed with specific purpose and concern with the primary organization activities and goals. So we have work teams which take care of one set of targets to be done on a time-bound basis. The workforce or the work teams as you call them. Then there are high performance teams. Members are highly committed to each other's personal development and career success. They are empowered to make decisions and share responsibilities. High performance team sets very high levels of performance targets. And high performance team tries to push its own targets which they have achieved earlier. They compete with themselves and every individual is committed to performing for his own personal development at the same time for the team. So the term high performance is comprising two things. Me and my personal development, and because of my personal development, my team also develops. So it's a very, very high performance, which is a very high committed team. Members of high performance teams I've seen in their personal lives also, they are very demanding on themselves in terms of competing with their own standards. Right? Improvement teams. They concentrate on improvements of existing systems of organization. They'll work on areas where there are lacuna, areas where things need to be improved, and they work on this and give suggestions and maybe implement it. Semi-autonomous teams have a right to make certain decisions and implement them without referring to top management. So autonomy means the process of, you know, taking independent decisions and action. Semi-autonomy means certain actions are, they are given the freedom to take it. They are given the power to take the actions. So semi-autonomous teams are such wherein they can take certain decisions without consulting the top management. Self-managed and directed teams, they are autonomous in decision making and implementation. This is very common in automobile units. We have teams and teams of people, engineers, workers, etc. coming together and they form what is called as self-managed teams or self-managed groups. They set the target for the day, they set the resources and they achieve it. And they direct themselves towards the achievement which the organization wants. It requires a tremendous amount of skills, commitment and maturity. Right? Cross-functional teams. They are formed with employees at same hierarchical levels but different functional areas. A marketing person, a marketing HOD and an operations HOD may come together and form a cross-functional team. They are formed to formulate strategies and integrated decisions that have impact on various departments of the organization. Cross-functional teams sit together for the larger purposes of the company and its commitment to the marketing, to their customers. So cross-function teams is very common today, these days. It need not be at the same level. It can be also at cross levels. Loose teams, they are ad hoc teams, temporary teams that are created for a purpose, and they are used in independent routine work and assembly lines. An example of a loose team will be somebody who has to fix something that has gone wrong in a department. So 2-3 people come together and they fix it up. An emergency may require a loose team to come together. Now again, we are calling it team because the people who come together to fix something loose, something which has become an emergency, have a commitment to see that that is done, and it is done in such a way that it is done for lifetime, right? The commitment level is what makes the teams different from a group. Commitment levels are very high. Collaborative teams are ones that are constantly creative. They collaborate with different types of creative processes and they take things ahead. Short-term specific task teams are used for temporary tasks. An executive team is used to at the top level in order to make use of cross-functional skills and knowledge by the CEO. An executive team comprises people at the top level, and this executive team, we also call the management team in some organizations. They are the people who collect all the information from different cross-functional teams, and they take the information, make it into a type of a MIS, Management Information Systems, and feed it to the CEO and the top management to take strategic actions. Okay? Team building strategies. Select members who can contribute. A person has to be self-driven and he must be able to contribute his skills, his ideas and his actions towards a goal. We need to have people with divergent skills, people who are having skills of different spread, because that is the purpose of a team. We must have a balanced team structure, meaning not too many people experts from one field and too less from the other field. It should be balanced as required by the end goals that needs to be achieved. Free flow of communication. There should be no holding back of communication. People should have all the communication, all the information coming to them without asking for it. This is a very important aspect of a team. In fact, the binding factor of a team is a free flow of communication, which makes people feel a sense of belonging. All of you will agree that in life itself, when communication is freely available to you, you feel a sense of involvement and you feel a sense of validation and importance. In a team or a group, if communication is blocked, if communication is discovered from third party, the team member starts feeling upset and he doesn't feel that he's a wanted member. The involvement comes down. So whenever you're having a group of people and you're working with them, good news, bad news, all types of news, let it come, let everybody know it. There's always this fear there, you know, that somebody will take my news and leak it, and you know, they will try to go contrary against the team. That is a very, very dangerous thing to happen to the team morale. A team morale has to be very high. And to my mind, what I've seen is free flow of communication is very important. Decide appropriate team style for strategy. What type of a style we need to adopt? Do we need to take an aggressive style for the work to be accomplished? Do we need to take a passive style? Do we need to take a democratic style? So that style has to be taken up. It's like in a football match or something. There is a aggression, attacking position or a defensive position. That's the style, right? Teams can be cross-functional, cross-cultural, cross-demographic or cross-role. Cross-functional, we have already understood. Cross-cultural could be two different cultures coming together, two different organizations coming together for a common purpose of the industry to which they belong. Cross-demographic, from populations of different areas and different levels. Cross-roles, these are the different teams that can be performed. Strong bonds with other formal and informal teams are important. They must learn to cultivate strong bonds with other formal, which is company formed, and informal teams, which is individual formed. Team building interventions. Interventions means some sort of advice or some sort of a coaching, some sort of a meeting up that is required. So one has to diagnose barriers to effective team performance. Team performance goes through what is called a team dynamics or a group dynamics. In team dynamics, what really happens is a good performing team today may not perform tomorrow. So constantly some people have to diagnose what could be the barriers coming up. Individual personality traits, equations with each other, the informal groups that might get formed, which distance the group members from each other, team members from each other. This is possible. So diagnose what are the barriers. Improve task accomplishments and relations between team members. It's very important that a person who's performing well today, top peak performer, he has to be pushed to go higher. And while he's doing that, he must also have the coaching to be having good relation with the team members. Because as you grow higher, there's a tendency for you to alienate yourself from the other team members in terms of making relationship bonds. Understanding and managing group process and culture. Understanding that how, what is the culture of this team? Every team has got its own culture. Do's and don'ts. Okay. So every person needs to be told or needs to be made clear that this is the type, this is the way we operate. And they have to learn to do it that way. Roles need to be analyzed and clarified. Roles need to be negotiated. So there's time then I have to play role A, and they within the team, I have to learn how to negotiate to play role B as and when the need arises. And that is usually decided by the team captain or the steering person. Right? Second, the next one is purpose of a team building. It is to set goals and priorities, to analyze and allocate work performance, examine group working and process, examine relationship among members. Essential conditions for team building. There should be clear assigned role for every member. Collective responsibility of action for each member. Team should speak with one voice. Very important. No appeal from one member to another member. It should be to the team proper. The whole, if I have a complaint or an appeal or something to be done, I don't go and talk to someone else, tell him privately or something in the dressing room or something. I have to go and talk to the team in front of everybody and make it clear so that everybody knows that there is an appeal from my side. It should not come from third party to somebody else. That's why I always talk in front of the group and the team. A team should be effective and manageable, should be small in size. Small is a big, is very subjective. Now what is small? Any number of people coming together which is manageable by the team captain or the team leader is a small team. It could be 10, it could be 11 as we have it in the cricket team. It could be 8, it could be 6 or 7. Usually you don't find teams beyond 12. Very rarely. Okay. That's how one can manage so many people. Ingredients of a team building. Get the people with complementary skills together. Make members know each other and emphasize they have to work together. Seek ideas, suggestions and experiences. Deal with higher priority problems. Develop realistic action plans and solutions and implement them. Assess actual and expected results. These are simple steps and common sense which it has been discussed in one way or the other. Right? Team building goals. Directing skills and behavior towards business goals. Directing skills and behavior towards the business goals. And skills and behaviors need to be constantly unlearned and relearned and taking it towards new behavior and new skills. Translating business goals into specific performance requirements of members. Enhancing creativity in task performance. Important thing is business goals. Business goals are always commercial in nature. Now that has to be converted into specific performance. Performances are actions. Now to connect the goals, which is tangible, into actions, which is intangible, that is a skill. Creativity in task performance is very important. So when I'm doing the task today in one way, can I make it in a different way tomorrow? Enhancing morale of members. They have to keep on making the people feel involved and they should be in a position to be going upbeat in what they do. Improve synergy to achieve higher productivity of team as compared to individuals. Team building goals. The purpose of team building is to provide scope for greater pride among members in the job performance. Build employees' loyalty. Improve skills of members by mutual learning. Develop problem-solving skills. Develop soft skills and interpersonal skills. And one of the goals not given here is to attain a superordinate achievement for the organization. Now we talk about team roles, norms and cohesiveness. What are team roles? They are activities of each role. Now here I'll be explaining about 10 different roles which people play. What do you mean by role? A role is something which a person adopts on his own because of his natural way in which he is. You take any team of people coming together, the team role is adopted by the person who's got a natural way of doing things. Now one role which people adopt is team leader. Finds new team members, evaluates their talents and personalities, improves his abilities and communication. Some people have got a natural trait for team leadership. So you can find a role of a team leader he's playing. It need not be the designated captain. It can be somebody else. Challenger. There is one role which people play which is they challenge whatever happens. analyzes team's long-term effectiveness, possible failures, correct faults, challenges team goals and methods, and strives for the best. Appearing to be a critic, and some people may not like him, but we need a challenger in a team. One of the roles should be challenger role. Next is a role of an implementer. He ensures smooth running of the actions, predicts delays and provides information. His work runs for timetable. So an implementer is required in a team who makes everything goes properly, systematically, and with a predictable time frame.